WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Newport Music Festival special series here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, along with the executive director of the festival, Pamela Pantos. Pamela, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Mike, since it is January, I thought that this evening we could present a composer born in January.
Oh, and simultaneously,
the Newport Music Festival is presenting an entire program of this composer's works this summer, so it's quite synergistic. This genius is also my favorite composer.
You say that about all of them.
No, I do not. I say that I like a lot of them, but this is truly my favorite.
Yeah, okay.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mozart was born on January 27th, 1756, in Salzburg, Austria, and he died on December 5th, 1791, in Vienna, Austria. And his full name was Johannes Chrysostomus Wolfgangus Theophilus Mozart. Quite the name.
Glad I don't have to write that.
We just call him Mozart. So this evening's program is dedicated to that summer program that we're going to be doing on Monday, July 8th, 2019, at 11 a.m. at the Elms, and it is called A Morning of Mozart. The first piece on the program is his piano sonata, number 3 in B-flat major, Kirchhell 281. And this was written in 1775, so if you think of how old he was only 19 years old, and yet we call this mature Mozart. He's at the top of his game here, and this is really the first piano sonata that we hear the Mozart that we're used to. You know, that very fully formed melodic line, harmonic changes, and the flow of ideas is unbelievable. There are no wasted gestures, there's no humdrum. You know, earlier sometimes he fills things in a little bit, but this is really Mozart as we expect it to be. He actually performed this particular sonata during his lifetime. But in his transformation, you know, to develop the piano sonata, he had several obstacles. Like Joseph Haydn, the instrument was so new, the piano itself, that it continually was undergoing metamorphosis. It was changing.
Developing all the time.
Right. And the keyboard wasn't very long, very wide. It didn't have all the notes. And so sometimes he would write for one keyboard, get to somewhere else, and the keyboard couldn't fulfill his vision of it and things like that. So that was one piece of it. And the other thing is that it's kind of interesting to see how the ideas that he formed and utilized in his piano sonatas, you can hear in his symphonies, in his chamber works, and his operas. You know, so he's this very dramatic composer who is really the pinnacle of operatic writing. And he was pretty dramatic in general. And so what you'll hear particularly in this piano sonata is some of those developments, some of that drama. So he was constantly personally praised for his technique and his musical taste. But one of the things he wrote about when other people played his piano pieces was their lack of legato. And if you can imagine, on an early instrument, that was very hard to achieve. And people sometimes say, oh, maybe we should hear Mozart on a piano that was, you know, from his time. But he was so entrepreneurial in his thinking that I quite frankly think he would love the pianos we have today with their capabilities of extreme pianissimo, extreme fortissimo, super legato, pizzicato, you know, like you'd play on a string, you know, staccato, all of those things that we can do on a piano. I think Mozart would feel very fulfilled that his subtleties are really brought out in today's pianos. So another aspect of this is, as I alluded to, he was fundamentally an opera composer, even when he wasn't composing operas, and drama was part of his life. So if we go back in time, let's please remember that now we think of Mozart operas as so elegant. At the time, they were neither elegant nor charming. They weren't intended to go down easy, right? He challenged the paradigms. He wrote in German when the court didn't want him to. He used Beaumarchais' play, which was literally revolutionary, and it was quite shocking. And opera director Peter Sellers said In order to perceive Mozart as he must have appeared to his contemporaries, you have to forget all music written since, from Beethoven onwards. So it is with the sonata. Each of them has its own story to tell. You think of the arias, the ensembles, and all of that interaction. So this piano sonata really sings. You know, it needs to shout. And I think that you'll hear those contrasts within. So anyway, so I think I've talked a little bit about his piano sonatas. So let's listen to the second movement of this piano sonata, number 3 in B flat major. This summer it's going to be played by the wonderful festival artist Daniel Delpino, who everyone absolutely adores. Here we're going to listen to the Adagio, which is the second movement, played by Mitsuko Uchida.
We will do that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
The composer with the longest name I've ever heard is the subject of tonight's program. I'm Mike Maino, speaking with Pamela Pantos, and she's telling us about Mozart. But before we get back to Mozart, I want to find out about how people can buy tickets to this concert you've been talking about.
Well, tickets will be going on sale at the end of January this year, which gives people a nice period of time till July to pick all their concerts. As you know, we sold out 85% of our concerts last year, and I think that was partly because of the programming, the very interesting program, bringing in new artists, keeping, you know, some of the resident festival artists. I think the quality is extremely high this year, and I think people will be interested that we've started adding some very interesting things. For example, this year we'll be doing a concert at the Casino Theater at the International Tennis Hall of Fame. We haven't done it in a long time, and that will be a collaborative evening of dance and chamber music, very interactive, I think a little bit unexpected, but beautifully choreographed. And so we're very excited about that as
now,
well
now,
as...
Now, let me interrupt.
Go
interactive,
ahead.
You mean that the people that are buying tickets are going to get to
no,
dance?
No, 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 not
oh,
that
all
kind
right,
of interactive.
Oh, I was getting confused here. I want to make sure.
Interactive between the dancers
okay.
and the musicians, right, which I think you don't see. You know, there's often,
right,
the dancers on stage, the musicians in the pit or somewhere else.
Right.
This will be quite interactive. I think a very exciting evening. And we're also doing something at Castle Hill this year. We're doing something at the huge tent down at the docks, at the wharf, the Bolin, beautiful tent down there. So very excited about the opportunity to perform in different venues all over Newport and, of course, going to Bristol at the beautiful Blythewell tent as well.
Spreading out.
Absolutely.
All right.
So this particular Mozart concert is very exciting because I think it shows many facets of him. There's the piano sonata we're going to talk about. There are some arias. I don't want to give it all away. We'll talk about the other pieces. But I think one of the things that the festival does really well is when we select a singular composer to showcase, we show sort of the manifest capabilities and beauty of that artist's work, of that composer's work. So what we have next in the program are two arias from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. Here's his opera composing. Namely, the two arias from the character Cherubino. These are absolutely delightful. I sang lots of Cherubinos. It's funny, you're not on stage very long in this role, and yet you usually get most of the applause. It's one of those cameo roles. These will be sung by the wonderful René Rapier, who people might have seen last summer, or she sang at the Christmas concert this year a gorgeous Ave Maria that people were just taken with. The role of Cherubino is a pants role, meaning it's played by a woman in pants. And the reason for this is Cherubino is a very young teenager, 14, 15 years old, and the convention was to have a woman play this role. And I think it added a little sex appeal to it. You know, it's kind of enticing.
Hmm.
The Marriage of Figaro was written in 1786 and was one of the operas that Mozart set to the libretto by Da Ponte. They worked a great deal together. This particular opera is truly a masterpiece because of the perfect union of these two elements, the text and the music. Cherubino himself is a young nobleman who is terribly in love with the Countess, who is quite young. You know, she's not 50 or 60 years old. She's 25 years old. Actually, he's not only in love with the Countess, he's in love with every woman he sees. So in this aria, he sings to the Countess and Susanna, who is her maid but also her friend. And the text literally asks them, "You who know about love, tell me, is it like this?" And goes on to describe all of his feelings. So we're going to listen to the incomparable Friederike von Stade, Flicka, who graced our stages at the Breakers last summer for the 50th anniversary, singing "Voi che sapete."
Thank you.
that was so beautiful. Let's hear the other Cherubino aria. And this one, Non so più cosa son, cosa faccio. Cherubino says, I really don't know what to do with myself. Again, this young, excited adolescent. So the first half of this program ends with a piece that I absolutely love. We played it last year at the festival, and I don't like to repeat a lot of repertoire, but people enjoyed it so much, and we did it in a small venue, so I thought that we would present it at the Elm so more individuals could, more of our listeners and audience could hear it. It's the violin and violas duo in G major, written in 1783. Mozart wrote this when his friend, Michael Haydn, who happened to be Franz Joseph's brother, became ill. He had a huge commission to write six duos, and he couldn't complete them. So Mozart stepped in to help his friend to complete the commission, which is, you know, you can't believe that Haydn and Mozart and Haydn's brother, Michael, how intertwined all these composers were.
Yeah, it's like they didn't have the internet to talk back and forth. So they couldn't put it on Facebook or anything like that. It is amazing that they were able to communicate all these things.
Yeah. And so Mozart steps in, helps his friend out so he doesn't lose the commission, and writes this beautiful piece. So I think what's interesting about these violin and viola duos, when we think of Mozart, as we heard in the opera right now, full orchestra, you know, there was Flicka singing, Herbert von Karajan conducting, it's a very full sound. And yet Mozart with two string instruments, creates this incredible amount of warmth and sound. And I think it's, again, a tribute to, at this point in, 1783, his maturity, mm-hmm. how he was able to have individual melodic lines and yet create incredibly deep harmonies within those two instruments. So we're going to hear the first movement of this duo here played by Guillaume Soutre and Miguel da Silva. And I know you're going to enjoy this.
Thank you.
Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, is here. I'm Mike Maino, and we've been talking about concerts coming up this summer for the festival and featuring the January birthday boy with the long name, Mozart. So let's pick that up where we left it off.
So one of the great pleasures of the festival, Mike, is meeting new musicians and outstanding musicians. And last summer, Christian Baverstam came and performed with us. He's a clarinetist. And immediately you saw this great ensemble playing that he's capable of. And so when I invited him back this year, obviously I was going to pick a piece that could feature this phenomenal artist. And so this piece that will fill the second half of this program at the Elms is the Masterful Clarinet Quintet. Many of your listeners here on WCRI will know this piece because you play it quite often, because it is one of the most delightful pieces in the chamber music canon. Written in 1789, this quintet is not a work for solo clarinet and then string accompaniment, but rather it's a masterfully integrated chamber work for equal partners in which the clarinet blends and the individual strings occasionally take center stage. So the beauty that sound that Mozart creates is not just from the wealth of thematic ideas and the development, but the balance he creates between these instruments. He achieved in this quintet something that we don't hear for another 100 years till we hear the Brahms Quintet. So again, this is that genius of Mozart being way ahead of his time. And again, as I said, in the operatic world, breaking boundaries, being challenging his listeners. I'm sure when people heard this, they expected a clarinet and everyone else to kind of play mpa mpa under him. So I think that's really one of the remarkable things. Mozart loved the clarinet. It was a very new instrument at the time.
I was going to say, I would think it would be very, very new.
It was very new, exactly. And so he had this friend of his, Stadler, who was pioneering the instrument. He played in Vienna. And he and Mozart actually worked on the sound of the clarinet. And Stadler was one of the individuals who actually started changing, you know, who started developing the clarinet. So Mozart, you know, grabbed Stadler and his brother Johann, who were playing at the imperial court, and, you know, underwent some modifications with the instrument, extended the lower register. And so we believe that Mozart actually wrote this piece for an instrument we no longer have called the basset clarinet. And it just stuck in the repertoire. And then later, Mozart called it Stadler's Quintet because he loved Stadler's playing so much, and then wrote his famous clarinet concerto for Stadler. So again, you know, piano's expanding, clarinet's expanding.
Right. Everything is changing at this point in time. It's, you know, not putting a man on the moon, but musically it almost was.
It absolutely was. And again, right, had we not had Mozart, we would not have any of, you know, the following, all of the following that came after him. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to David Schifrin and the Mostly Mozart Ensemble play the last movement of the Allegro con Variazioni, which I'm sure people will recognize. I think it's going to be a great end to this concert this summer. So I'd like to say thank you for listening, and tickets will be on sale in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Pamela. Always interesting. We'll see you next time with the Newport Music Festival. Thank you.
thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.